Being Someplace Else, The Theological Virtues in the Anime of Makoto Shinkai, a presentation by Dr. Matthew Tan.
What I'm going to be focusing on tonight is the work of an animator and director named Makoto Shinkai, who is part of a new generation of Japanese anime directors, which are rising to prominence after the success of Hayao Miyazaki, who is famous for movies like Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle. I choose Shinkai for a number of reasons. The first is that now that Miyazaki has gone into retirement, Shinkai is now being billed as one of the most likely to fill the void in anime that Miyazaki has left behind. The second is that Shinkai at the present moment appears to have a very consistent thematic content in his films, and that consistency makes him most ideal to be a case study. The third, and I think this is the most important reason, is that Shinkai's thematic content, more than any director that I at least have come across, provides valuable raw material for a specifically theological reflection. This reflection is not a simple affirmation of everything that Shinkai says as inherently theological. However, it is an instance of critical engagement between Christian theology on the one hand and the world of animation more generally on the other. For I think that animated films coming out of late have not only become mere pieces of entertainment, they have also become critical focal points of reflection, which may not come out so easily in live-action counterparts. These focal points of reflection can become moments of dialogue, which I believe Christian theology can make a crucial contribution. So to this end, I will reflect upon a number of Shinkai's films and put them into discussion with the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, with a particular reference to the works of the German Thomist Joseph Pieper and the Augustinianism of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. The central argument put forward tonight is that Pieper and Benedict XVI provide a refreshing and quintessentially is a dramatic portrayal of the theological virtues, which finds a videographical portrayal in Shinkai's films. At the heart of this drama is the tie that exists between the ennobling of our natures, which is the very purpose of virtue, and the longing for distant places, the awareness of which is brought about by an encounter with another person. So the attempt here is to at least hint at how this link is present both in the works of Pieper and Benedict's coverage of the theological virtues on the one hand and in Shinkai's films on the other. But first, a brief note on Shinkai himself. Before becoming a film director, Shinkai worked in advertising and in gaming. He became famous for his penchant for shorter films. One that shot Shinkai to fame was a 5-minute video called She and Her Cat in 1999, which records a cat's contemplation of his owner in its first 6 months of living in a house. Another coup for Shinkai came in the 2002 video Voices from a Distant Star, which runs for only 20 minutes. He has produced two movie-length films, one called A Place Promised in Our Early Days, and another called Children Who Chase Lost Voices from Deep Below, both of which are 90 minutes long. His mainstay, however, continues to be the short or medium-length movies running from between 20 minutes to an hour, with recent examples including 5 Centimeters Per Second, an excellent movie, and his most recent contribution, The Garden of Words, which made its world premiere in a film festival on the Gold Coast. Now, while Shinkai has been touted as the next Miyazaki, it is important to note that there are still a number of distinct differences between Miyazaki and Shinkai. The key difference is that Miyazaki's anime is very much driven by characters, and so a lot of attention is put into figures within a story, in terms of their appearance, which are very often fantastical, or in the unfolding of the complexities of their inner character. In so doing, Miyazaki is very good at bringing whole new worlds, very different from ours, into view. Shinkai, by contrast, doesn't seem to put too much attention to his characters. In terms of appearance, they're not as detailed, and Shinkai deliberately takes a minimalist approach to any character development. The characters seem to be a secondary consideration, or to put it more charitably, they appear to act as a waypoint for reflection upon other things, or more specifically, other worlds that are, at least in the biographies of the characters, worlds that are yet to come into view. Take, for example, Voices of a Distant Star, where a boy named Nabaru and his encounter with a girl named Mikako is very, very brief. And this encounter only acts as the boy's point of reference to a very distant galaxy through which Mikako must traverse as part of an expeditionary force going through these galaxies. A similar thing is played out in another movie, A Place Promised in Our Early Days, where three children spend a large part of the film separated from each other, whilst their time together, very, very briefly, acts only as the launch point for plans for an expedition to a mysterious tower that reaches up into the sky that is located in Hokkaido, which is occupied by the Soviet Union. The children, meanwhile, are living in a part of Japan that is occupied by the Alliance, most presumably the United States. What is most subjective is his latest movie called The Garden of Words, which portrays a series of meetings between a student who is a wannabe cobbler and what turns out to be a teacher in the Japanese garden, encounters which lead one to reflect on the world of the other. We are actually given very little insight, almost no insight into the teacher's world, but a lot of insight into our wannabe cobbler. So one does not need another planet to put great distances between two worlds. At least this is what the Garden of Worlds suggests. Visually, an often used technique that Shinkai uses to accentuate the distance between worlds in a number of scenes and in a number of movies is where he seems to glance at characters and then pulls the camera back or down so that our view becomes fixed upon the background that form the backdrop that is usually an urban skyline, a Japanese garden, or the sky itself. All of these backdrops are wonderful pieces of art, veritable works of art unto themselves. They are vivid and they are drawn with sometimes overwhelming detail, as you can see in your handouts. They dazzle the viewer, and with the characters almost melting out of sight. And very often, these dazzling backdrops will even point beyond themselves to other towns, other places, other worlds, other galaxies. There is in Shinkai's work a centrality and a focus on distant and sometimes invisible worlds, and the person sort of act as gateways, waypoints to our consideration of these distant places. This consideration is given even more weight given that a central plot driver in Shinkai's films is the imperative to bridge that distance between where the characters are and where they long to be. In A Place Promised in Our Early Days, the desire to go to Hokkaido, for instance, and to go to the tower in Hokkaido, is driven by the desire to wake a loved one from a coma, whose brain waves are said to be interacting with the frequencies of the tower. In Children Who Chase Lost Voices, this desire is driven by a girl's wish to restore the life of a strange boy whom she meets, who is from an underground world named Agartha. While there is some suggestion here of theological significance, this significance is magnified when one considers that the distance between the worlds is brought about by an often violent interruption with a previous state of bliss, something that is akin to a fall. An example of this can be seen in A Place Promise in Our Early Days, where the distant tower emerges and the divisions between Hokkaido and Japan emerges as a result of the Cold War turning into a violent conflict. Now, what is also unique in Shinkai's work is that he also draws our attention to the centrality of these distant places. And as he does so, he constantly makes use of the trope of romantic love to keep alive this link between the distant worlds and the more immediate worlds of the characters. The possibility of new worlds that is opened up by the encounters between characters becomes solidified for the viewer in terms of the possibility of a world with two of the main characters becoming romantically involved. While this trope of romantic love as a plot driver may risk being overbearingly sappy, what is interesting about Shinkai's apprehension of romantic love in most of these films is that the love between characters is often left unfulfilled or at best underexplored. In 5 centimeters per second, the distance ends up making Akari, our lead male, burying his love for a girl that he met in high school. In Voices of a Distant Star, we are left wondering if Mikako, our female robo-fighter pilot in the Expeditionary Force, who constantly expresses her feelings throughout the film for a high school sweetheart left on Earth, we are constantly left wondering if Mikako will even survive the final battle. Again, the trope of unresolved human love may sound like an overplayed cliché, until you stop to consider that Shinkai has been linking love for other persons to the desire for other places. More specifically for Shinkai's characters, the romantic yearnings for one for another is linked with the longing to be somewhere other than here. The fact that these yearnings are yet to be satisfied comes to accentuate the distance between that world and our world. Shinkai's films are also interesting in that they not only draw your attention to the inner lives of characters, they also move you to share that inner life. The yearnings of one character for another and their frustration at the distance between them becomes our yearnings. They become our frustrations. Amidst the sentimentality, we the viewers are made to feel the distance, not only between the characters, but also between them and the longed-for places. In the more mundane expressions of this distance between protagonists, such as the distance between two lovers growing up apart in different towns in Japan, we are made to revisit our own longings, to bridge our own distances between places in our own lives. Now, this may come across as a very nice emotional massage, but what does this have to do with virtue? Never mind the theological virtues. Now, it is here that we turn to the works of Joseph Pieper and Benedict XVI. And in doing so, I hope to weave together both the theological material as well as the archetypical crucial moments in Shinkai's films. First, to faith. In the book Faith, Hope, and Love, Pieper writes about the necessary ingredients for belief, and interestingly, he alerts the reader to one important point. The crucial moment for our belief is not our knowledge of a certain set of claims. According to Pieper, what sets the stage for our belief is our encounter with a person of great fidelity. Our faith is then grounded not so much in the content of the belief, but in the witness of that person of great fidelity. But the person I encounter is more than just flesh and cloth. It is even more than just personality and emotion. The French sociologist Cornelius Castoriadis once wrote that when we move not only as individuals, we move also, quote, as walking and talking fragments of a given society, embodying the essential core of the institutions and significations of their society, unquote. In other words, the person that I encounter is also a gateway to another society, to another world. My encounter with this person then alerts me to the presence of a place that lies beyond the confines of the world in which I live. It opens up the faintest glimmer of that world to me when that person that I encounter is made present to me. It is important to note that in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' preaching and the encounter with Jesus is always punctuated with a reference to the place outside of our field of perception called the Kingdom of Heaven. Faith, defined as an encounter, then germinates not into an ascent of a schema of imperatives. Rather, faith germinates into a desire to be in that other place that we have not seen. Now, the difficulty, of course, is that the place is not seen. What is seen, however, is the person that alerted me to that place. The person who is the gateway to that place is the one that is made present to me. The desire for the destination thus converges with the desire for the person I encounter. We see this convergence of person and place in many of Shinkai's films. In Children Who Chase Lost Voices, the main female lead, Asuna, and her encounter with the boy named Shun is what crystallizes her desire to go to the underground world of Agartha. In A Place Promised in Our Early Days, it is the promise between high school sweethearts that is what solidifies the desire to go to the tower in Hokkaido. The convergence of the desire for the place and the desire for the person is not new. In his sermon on the Gospel of John, St. Augustine in the 4th century similarly spoke of our desire for a place merging with a desire for a person. In his sermon, he calls Christ, quote, "Christ as God is the home country we are going to, and Christ as man is the way that we are going by." On to hope. Augustine's point about Christ as man being the way sets us up for another, albeit somewhat disconcerting, parallel. This is the idea in Shinkai's films that the desire of one person for another is not fulfilled. The encounter is not the end. It is the first step towards a second, deeper communion with that other person. But the existence of this deeper communion, this second communion, means that a distance is created between the lover and the beloved, and one expresses his or her longing not only for the other in the abstract, but also in terms of a longing to bridge the distance that stands between them. So long as this desire remains unfulfilled, so long as this distance remains unbridged, the characters speak about being lost. The characters speak about not being complete, of experiencing an interior desolation. They experience a not being themselves. Now, this is not just mere lovesickness. There is a sense that the distance signified by the far-off place or the far-off person in a far-off place has opened up a wound, an interior, if not exterior, wound, rendering that person incomplete until the distance is traversed. We find vivid expressions of this desolation in Shinkai's films. Akari, who is the male lead in 5 centimeters per second, who is separated from Takaki, a girl he loves since high school, is the one who most gives voice to this feeling towards the end of the film. In the end of the film, he says these lines, quote, "In just living my life, it's as though sadness piles up all around me. It's in my bed, dried up in the sun, the toothbrush in my bathroom, in the memory of my cell phone, and in another part of the movie. For the past few years, I wanted to move on, to grasp onto something beyond my reach. What that is, I don't even know. All I've been able to do is go on working, not knowing where these obsessive thoughts come from. Then, one day, I realized my heart was withering, and in it there was nothing but pain. And one morning, I realized that my beliefs that I once held on so passionately had completely disappeared. Unquote. Now, this desolation is also given a visual display in a place promise in our early days, where Hiroki, the male lead, who is grieving after the object of his affections, who is a girl named Sayuri. The girl Sayuri disappears for over 3 years without explanation. And the cure for Hiroki's grief comes from his attempt to restore his communion with a now comatose Sayuri by embarking on an air journey that takes her to the tower in Hokkaido, in the hopes that doing so would revive her. It's to be noted as a side note that Sayuri and her dreams, who remember Sayuri is the comatose girl, her dreams are actually being used as a weapon by the Alliance to counteract the Hokkaido Tower. The Hokkaido Tower attacks the Alliance by literally creating other worlds in the immediate vicinity around it and then erasing the current world. In other words, erasing the world of the Alliance. To return back, if faith is not an ascent to prescriptions, but a personal encounter which unveils a distant world, then what that encounter also does is open up not a full knowledge of things, but a journey in which things are yet to be known. Now we find this affirmation in paragraphs 8 and 9 of the encyclical Lumen Fidei, which was released under Francis's papacy, but bears many hallmarks of Benedict XVI's thought. Paragraph 8 begins with this paragraph. Quote, faith opens a way before us and accompanies our steps through time. Hence, if we want to understand what faith is, we need to follow the route it has taken. Unquote. Lumen Fidei takes as its exemplar the figure of Abraham, who, having encountered a personal God, comes to know of his true nature as a father of many descendants. And Abraham comes to know that his true nature as a father of many descendants will come at the end of this journey set by God. Shinkai puts this on brief display in a line in Voices of a Distant Star, where Noboru spoke of how his nature becomes ennobled merely by being with the object of his affections, namely Mikako. She was strong, he says, and I was strong when I was with her. The only trouble is that he is not with her, for Mikako is literally galaxies away from him. We find echoes of this need to traverse the distance in Joseph Pieper's coverage of the theological virtues. Without wanting to make a statement of equivalence, Pieper nonetheless draws a very strong link between traversing a distance and what he calls, quote, the innermost structure of our created nature. He writes that the designation of places in the itinerary of our lives are necessary analogues to keep in mind because our finite embodied natures are marked with what he terms the status viatoris, the status of being on the way. That is, on the way towards the fulfillment of our natures, which can only happen at a destination called the beatific vision. The destination that Augustine has designated as none other than Christ himself. Our encounter with God, which is the stuff of faith, is undergone whilst living lives in bodies and in finite space. In fact, the fact of our historical, creaturely existence here and now means that in the here and now, we are thrust on the path towards the culmination of that encounter in that destination called Jesus Christ. And in being thrust to traverse this distance towards Jesus Christ, Pieper tells us, quote, in the not yet of man's being on the way, the whole span of creatures' becomingness is revealed. It's a wonderful phrase. I'll say that again. Pieper tells us, quote, in the not yet of man's being on the way, the whole span of creatures' becomingness is revealed. In other words, we are not the self-sufficient beings that we fancy ourselves to be. For in the very structure of our being, we are like Hiroki in A Place Promised in our early days. We are like Mikako in Voices of a Distant Star. And we are like Takaki in 5 centimeters per second. We are not yet ourselves until we are reunited with the one, the initial encounter with whom has revealed the place of our fulfillment and also the distance between that place and where we are now. In defining the status viatoris, Pieper tells us that we are not meant to stay in this transitional state. Faith as an encounter with a person that reveals a world to us and the concomitant longing for that world and person will come to fruition in another ecstatic encounter. It is meant to end in that second ecstatic encounter. And for those who are continuously longing, for those who are, in the words of Pieper, quote, reaching with a restless heart, with confidence and patient expectation towards the arduous not yet of fulfillment, the expectation that the longing will be satisfied is constitutive of the virtue called hope. If there is one theme that is at least displayed most prominently in all of Shinkai's films, it is the notion of hope. Whether that hope is the hope to reach a distant tower, the hope of being reunited with the object of one's affections. Why it is theologically significant that hope be on such prominent display, as Pieper writes, is because it is, quote, in the virtue of hope, this is Pieper's words, in the virtue of hope more than any other, man and understands and affirms that he is a creature, that he has been created by God, unquote. The realization of our finitude in our embodied existence and the expectation that in spite of that finitude, these seemingly infinite longings can be fulfilled nonetheless. This, for Pieper, is the surest affirmation of our being created by God and being created for God. However, in spite of this prominence, it is precisely at the juncture of hope where the thesis of Shinkai's portrayal of the theological virtues starts to become shaky. There are certainly glimmers of this expected longing of a second ecstatic encounter in Shinkai's films. We find these longings in the final lines of 5 centimeters per second, more consistently in Voices of a Distant Star, and more fervently in Hiroki in A Place Promised in our early days. In some circumstances, the second encounter or the arrival at the longed-for place is even fulfilled in Shinkai's films. Hiroki, for instance, does make it to the tower that he longed to go to as a child. Akari does have a second and even possible third encounter with Takaki in 5 centimeters per second. However, these arrivals are not portrayed as having resolved that restlessness or that desolation that was generated by that distance. It is certainly not the case with Akari. The closest is probably Hiroki upon waking the comatose Sayuri. But the movie ends with Sayuri's awakening and expressing her feelings for Hiroki. But Shinkai is reluctant to even explore the fruits of this reunion. Now, we can probably attribute this to another one of Shinkai's cinematic techniques of being apophatic and leaving many details to the viewer's imagination. Why this might fall short of a neat parallel to Pieper's theological virtue, however, is that Pieper portrays the second ecstatic encounter with the end of our being on the way, the end of the status viatoris, which he portrays as not merely as an arrival, but also a full comprehension, the acquisition of full knowledge, particularly knowledge of the person's nature and the purpose of his being a viator. This is why Pipa labels those who are no longer on the way as having a status comprehensoris, the status of having comprehended. Another reason why Shinkai's exploration of hope might fall short of a neat theological parallel in Pipa's account is that Shinkai portrays hope as something that emits from and is sustained by the person doing the hoping. And Shinkai portrays this hope as a wavering hope, a hope that can and often does wither. Pipa makes it quite explicit that, quote, it is not certain that man of himself will be able to persevere in hope. For Pipa, by contrast, hope is sustained by the object of one's hope, not the person doing the hoping. Hope is sustained by the person who is encountered in the encounter of faith. Now, to sustain this, Pipa cites the Carolingian theologian Persicius Robertus, who talks about hope as a holding of Christ's hand. To quote Persicius Robertus, Christ is held by the hand of hope. But he goes further by saying that we hold him and we are held. But it is a greater good that we are held by Christ than we hold him. For we can hold him only so long as we are held by him. It is this being held by someone other than oneself, Thomas Aquinas says, that fixes one's hope. The only possible exception to this rule is Voices of a Distant Star, where Mikako, piloting a fighter robot in another galaxy, expresses her yearnings for the object of affections, namely the boy Naboru. As Mikako fights into the more distant galaxies, messages take longer to reach each other, one taking a year and another taking almost 9 years. There is a possible hint of this movie fitting into Persicius Robertus' notion of hope being a sense of being held by another, where Mikako ends one of her emails with the phrase to Naboru, Naboru, quote, about me, I wonder if you will ever forget, unquote. But again, just how Naboru responds to the idea that he is the linchpin of Mikako's hope is not explored. On to love. What is much clearer is that the matrix that Shinkai draws between the hoped-for person, reaching the hoped-for place the encounter with the person has opened up, and the love between that person and another, that matrix is very clearly drawn. In Shinkai's films, it is the love for one by another that turns an encounter with a person into the opening up of a distant world. It is the love for one by another that underpins the dangerous realization that the discovery of one's nature, the full discovery of oneself, comes from another and not from the smug confines of one's own imagination. And it is love that sustains the willingness to endure the difficulty of distance in order to have that second ecstatic encounter. It is true that this love is of the romantic variety, and the viewer may be quick, particularly the Christian viewer, may be quick to dismiss this romantic love as the mere love of attraction, the love of eros, one of the lowest loves. But Pipa reminds us that the love of attraction is a necessary component for any more mature love to even begin. For in being attracted by eros, one is providing the material substrate for the theological virtue of love, which is the affirmation of something as good. Not merely in the sense of having good qualities, but in the sense that it is good that something exists at all. And it is that fact that it is good that something exists at all that becomes the stuff of attraction. It is important to note that even as romantic love is explored in Shinkai's films, there is no real reason why the love is stirred. As mentioned earlier, there is little character development in any of Shinkai's films. Nonetheless, the mere existence of one character makes him or her an object of love. That is enough. At this point, Benedict XVI reminds us in the encyclical letter Deus Caritas Est, love is providing that faintest glimmer of a divine moment, a divine moment where God saw something he brought into existence and affirmed its goodness primarily because of its existence. This sounds nothing like the Eros that we are familiar with, and one may suspect that we have long been operating with far too narrow a definition of Eros. Or more precisely, we have been presuming that Eros is what Deus Caritas Est calls the poisoned Eros as mere instinct. This link between Eros and more mature forms of love, the most familiar of which is the self-giving love of agape, is given more weight when one considers Pieper's stage of affirming that good that comes at the stage of Eros, and that is the desire to identify oneself with that good by traversing the gap between oneself, which is the center of erotic attraction, and the object of that attraction. This traversing of the distance between oneself, the center of attraction, and the object of attraction, this traversing of the distance is given even greater consideration in Deus Caritas Est, paragraph 7. Eros, the encyclical says, is what stirs the drive to traverse this distance, Benedict suggests. But in that movement towards that object, something happens to Eros. In driving near to the other, or drawing near to the other, Benedict says, quote, it is less and less concerned with itself, increasingly seeks the happiness of another, is concerned more and more with the beloved, bestows itself and wants to be there for the other. The element of agape thus enters into this love, unquote. The scandalous point that is being made here is that agape is not reached by leaving Eros behind, but it is precisely in the experience of Eros that agape enters, and it is in the closing of the distance between one and the other, between one place and the other, that the instinct of Eros becomes purified into the self-giving of agape. The link between the traversing of distance and the purification of Eros into agape can be seen in the final phase of A Place Promised in Our Early Days, where Hiroki's journey to awake the comatose Sayuri to the tower in Hokkaido, in the middle of a newly erupted conflict between the Alliance and the Soviet Union, puts the life of Hiroki, and of course the life of Sayuri as well, at great risk. But it is a risk that Hiroki willingly takes upon himself in order to save Sayuri. To conclude, there are many thematic angles that can be explored in the films of Makoto Shinkai. However, it has been argued here that at the very least, the consistency of Shinkai's thematic content could be a reliable source of material for further explorations. Second, it has been argued that there is in Shinkai's films themes of theological significance, content that can cause us to reflect upon not merely some stupid New Age dishwater, but on substantial and indeed ancient theological thought, stretching all the way back from Pieper to Aquinas to Augustine. Third, we will conclude with this thought. It has been suggested that in drawing attention to this relationship between theology and anime, we can be more attentive to the theological content that is being smuggled through the products of not just anime, but pop culture more generally. One does not mean here a mere passive acceptance of all content as being consistent with Christian theology. And indeed, we have seen here that Shinkai clearly did not spend his spare time reading German theology. Indeed, it is a greater awareness of Christian theology that one can get into a more nuanced engagement with pop culture. All creation is groaning towards the final revelation, Paul once wrote in his epistles. And one ought to be attentive to such groanings, even in something as banal as pop culture, even in something as insignificant as a 20-minute animated clip. But we do so to give flesh to a grave pastoral duty outlined by the liturgical theologian Louis Boyer. To quote Boyer, "The most urgent problem facing Christian thought is to give a greater emphasis to the definition of supernatural hope in the context of the different hopes harbored in the modern world." Unquote. The Christian sympathizes with such hopes and hopes in solidarity. But at the same time, the Christian has to remain tireless in pointing towards the fulfillment in our hope in Jesus Christ.
That was Dr. Matthew Tan with Being Someplace Else, The Theological Virtues in the Anime of Makoto Shinkai. For more from Dr. Matthew Tan, and for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.